Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Rob's Little Baghdad. I'm Albie. This is episode 190 of Rob's Little Baghdad. We've done this 190 times. Not this in particular, but a version of this. Much like the great board game Azul, there are many versions. Isn't that right, DJ?
There are three versions of Azul, and there are technically three versions of this podcast.
Yeah. Wait. There's the audio version. The video version.
Oh, I was just going, is it Moe and the Seen Anything Good business? But you could have said text. Yeah. You could have said text.
Yeah, text. Yeah, sure. I'm sure we could run it through a transcription service.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, text. There's a text version of this podcast. If you like to read everything we say, I know Jake loves reading podcasts, sits down, cracks open Giant Bomb or Min Max at the end of the day, hot cup of coffee, and just reads his favorite podcast. It's great. Very exciting.
I ain't got time to read.
And I'm finding that same thing. Wow. The games are hot and heavy.
Are they? I read The Walking Dead Compendium 4. I finished The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Neat.
But it's weird. Like, I got the Game of Thrones House of Targaryen book or whatever it was. Like, not last Christmas, like 2018 Christmas. And, like, I didn't touch that thing. I think it's just, like, too much word. Whereas, like, The Walking Dead is, like, cool panel with, like, speech bubbles and shit's legitimately popping off every page.
Yeah, I prefer to read the Game of Thrones stuff just an audiobook. Like, it just...
Yeah.
I think Martin is, like, he's great, but it's very dense. It's not an easy read in terms of just, like, language, so it's easier just to listen to it, I think, at least for me. I find that with, Lord of the Rings also is very, like, heavy. A lot of words.
Yeah, yep. Do you,
Book's got a lot of words in them. You heard it here first.
Some of them are pictures, too. And those are my favorite.
Where do you audiobook? Where's your number one spot to audiobook?
The library. Usually a library would be. Oh, where do I do it?
Yeah.
What
I was
going
to say, like,
what,
you go to the library just to, like, listen to books?
Yes, I go to the library.
Middle fingers at every actual book.
I load up Audible at the library, and then I put... Yeah. I thought you were talking about, like, what service.
Just throws his AirPods in and just walks up and down the rows of books, just going...
Here we go!
For the audio listener, I'm holding up both middle fingers, facing left and right.
Usually just, like, I don't know, I'll take a walk or something like that, usually. Take a nice, you know.
Sure.
Everybody likes, you gotta get 30 minutes in, right? You gotta get your half an hour walk every day. Heart health, very important. So, usually I pop in a little podcast or something, just go for a walk, and it's nice like that, but really, if I'm wanting to get some reading done, just like sit in the cellar somewhere. Like, I like separate, right? Like, I like somewhere.
You have a cellar?
Yeah, what?
Don't go down there.
Is that where you keep your wine and your bodies?
Yeah, that's where I just like to sit in my bodies, my pile of them, and then they're, you know, carved into a chair, which is nice. And I just sit there.
Oh, nice.
You definitely want that. You know, you don't want to sit on just a normal body. You want some kind of cushion on it, you know.
Does it rock?
That's disgusting, and don't ask that to me ever again. Rocking bodies. You're out of your mind. Come on now. Disgusting. I don't know. It's, you know, it's like I like separate areas. Like, I'll sit on a porch or something like that. Like, I'm not going to sit at the computer and listen to an audiobook. That just ain't me, man. Like, maybe if I'm at work. Yeah,
playing Destiny 2 or grinding on some shit. That's what some people do.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts when I do that, though. That's my podcast time. So when I listen to, like, Giant Bomb or something like that, let me play Bomber Crew. There's a good segue.
Yeah.
One of the games I've been listening to, playing while I listen to podcasts, yep. Bomber Crew. I beat that game.
You had a softball of a... Of a segue just ready for you when DJ was talking about Walking Dead, but okay.
Also, dude, you should read Lock and Key. Good, good book.
Maybe watch the Netflix thing when I run out of other stuff to watch.
I wouldn't. Okay.
That's your default.
Hot take. That Netflix series. In comparison to source material. Like, it's fine. It's just, I like the source material. Anyway. Yeah. So Bomber
you,
Crew.
Yeah, you segged out. You got a good seg, and then you decided not to go
then
with
I
it.
Got off topic. You know.
Yep.
Sometimes the path winds. And Bomber Crew, much like that, winded its way into my daily life for a while. I played the whole game. I've beaten the main campaign.
Jeez.
Done. I like that game a lot. It's you sort of end up sort of near like the end of the middle part of the game, like good enough that there's not really much of a challenge. Outside of like if your landing gear get blown off, which is like the thing that's killed me like 20 times, and I go like I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna lose because I get all the way done and then the guy can't land the plane.
Save scum, huh?
I save scum when that happens.
Okay, well, hold up. What is Bomber Crew?
To describe it, let me see here. It's sort of like an FTL. You control various members of it.
It's run-based.
Yeah, it's a run-based FTL kind of game.
Okay.
You tackle different missions. Each member of your crew, there's two gunners. You have a person on the comms, a person on the navigation.
You can choose more gunners.
Well, yeah, you can
spec
whatever way you want.
It's a little different to FTL in the sense that you're at an RAF base, a Royal Air Force base in World War II, and you have missions to choose, like go spot some submarines or go take out these outposts, etc., from France. And the run-based business that I mentioned was like you choose your squad, you choose like upgrades to the ship, etc., before you take off.
Squad.
Yep. And then... what Thadden was saying is, like, you can choose a comms guy, you can choose two gunners, or, like, a repairman.
Different stations.
You need a pilot, you need, like, a navigation crew, and you probably need at least two gunners in that ship. But there's, like, four slots of turrets.
Yep.
So, like, you can totally ignore the repair guy and just get an extra gunner if you want.
And it's more active than, like, FTL. Like, you, like, take off. You can, like, select your, like, altitude and stuff like that.
It's not turn-based.
Yeah, it's not turn-based. You're more into it. Like, you click spacebar to spot, like, enemy planes. They'll show up on your radar, and then you have to spot them for your gunners to start shooting at them.
It's like a fuel gauge and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's optional stuff that appears, like, you flew over the city, you should take a picture of it, or something like that, and you'll get extra gold coins.
Secret military base here that we didn't know about. Take a picture of it. Stuff like that. And you're moving guys around inside of the thing. People get shot, much like FTL. When somebody goes down, you gotta like pick them up or do something with them.
So stuff if like they that. Shoot your landing gear off, like the repair guy can't like repair
nothing
them
you can
anything?
Do. Nothing. There's nothing you can do
so
unless
just, like you, may you as well land just crash or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, basically, eventually I figured out and I was looking at some guides and stuff and going, like, there's gotta be some way. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I was somebody, like, I think I had three runs in a row of, what mission was it? Nemesis? It was towards the end of the one. It was Operation Nemesis or whatever. Operation Zeus, maybe. They're actually real operations that happened during World War II. But what happened was, like, the one landing gear is off. Everything else, perfectly fine. Engines, like, no damage, no nothing. And I would just go down and it just go... Well, the entire thing blows up and I lose three people. I'm like,
okay. So what's the fix?
The fix is you click lean, you make your fuel man use like a lean fuel, which slows you down a little bit. Then you deploy your landing gear. And then right as you're coming in, right as your ship goes, tilts down for the first time and kind of starts going towards the runway, you click emergency landing. And it lands
flat.
That's
when you click emergency landing.
Yeah. Huh. I know.
Why
I don't
do
know
you
how
you
figured it out.
Your
this person is for.
That sounds like you're cheesing it. Like super hard.
A little bit, but,
why do you need to deploy your landing gear when
I guess you probably don't.
Broken anyway?
You probably don't.
Yeah.
The only thing is he might not land like if you get close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's programming. It's like he will not land if you, the quote-unquote landing gear is not turned on.
I mean, the landing gear explodes anyway when you hit the ground, so it's like, it's really...
But. Great. More explosions. Also, I like the idea of your plane exploding, but like three die, but like the rest survive. Like what?
It's the middle of the cabin, wherever the fuel thing is. Like it just goes boom and everything else is like...
Can you theoretically push like everyone to the back or something? Can you save people by moving them around?
Probably could. Yeah, you probably could move people around and
because
like...
you can also push people out onto the wings and stuff. Like they have X amount of oxygen and shit. So maybe just shove them out all onto the wings.
Get out these wings. You could also
battlefield that shit.
You could have them bail out too. Really, if you wanted to, you could just have them all like there's little like equipment slots you can either have. Fire extinguishers, medical things, or like parachutes. I always have my guy grab a parachute before he goes out in the wings to repair one of the engines because I'm like, I lost a bunch of guys, a couple of guys just because then I clicked the stupid, whatever it is, emergency dive or whatever. And then the guy grabbing onto the wing. He didn't do very well.
No more.
He was no more. For as we dove the airplane 1,000 feet in a second. Hey, get on out there! You fix up that thing. Oh well, I gotta dive the whole plane now. You better hold on. it's something. It's a fun game. It gets a little repetitive. A lot of the missions are repeated. You get kind of like bomb the airfield. Especially towards the end, it's a lot of, they give you like a bunker buster kind of bomb, so it's a lot of like, you have to drop this from high altitude, and then you just fly for a long time. It's like long trucking or something like that, like you're just flying for like 40 hours. It's like, okay. Then you get there, you drop the bomb, and then a bunch of fighters show up, which sucks, but...
Spoilers.
Kill Hitler at the end of that game.
Still like, oh, do you? Huh. How, like with your plane? What? I was going to say, you can't.
Just take it in.
You just run the plane in.
Yep.
It's Mecha Hitler, but you just hit him with the plane.
Wait. Who could stand up to that? Yeah. What were you going to say, DJ?
It's a fun game, but like you said, it gets kind of repetitive real quick. And like while there's lots of upgrades for the ship, the plane that starts to occur. Like, they also cost a lot, so you kind of have to do a lot of the missions to get, like, monies to afford it. Plus, you can also upgrade your, like, crewmen as well of, like, you've got a flight suit or you've got, like, a better flight suit. Which gives you more breathability outside or, like, survivability if you have to, like, bail and, like, how long can you last out in the open world or some shit.
Mm-hmm. I'd never had any of that.
No.
Never dealt with that. Did a water landing one time. Never did any of the other stuff.
Nice. Why'd you do that?
The engines were all gone.
Great.
They all got blown off, and I was just like, well, taking her in.
That'll do it.
Taking her in. Here we go. It was neat. Fun game. Fun, neat game. I'm excited to see more from that. I think that's a neat idea for like a kind of like action-y FTL. It's more engaging than FTL. Like, sometimes FTL feels like it's just kind of, like, unless you have the weapons to do stuff, you're kind of just sitting there, someone selecting stuff, and you don't feel so related to your characters. My rear gunner Perkins murdered many Nazis. Pretty cool lady. It's nice. Good game. I'm finding a lot of games now on Game Pass where I'm just like, hey, that's a fun game. That's neat. Bloodstained, another one of those. Started that this week. That's a neat game. Mary's not here. I was going to talk to her about Bloodstained. Didn't show up to podcast. That's, you know, it's a Castlevania type game. It's the new Castlevania. That man kickstarted it. Indiegogo.
So it's like basically a Castlevania game, just not called Castlevania, right?
Yes, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, there's some structural differences. different choices, I'm sure.
But like the overall like theme and like the setting.
It's not about vampires anymore. It's about you know, magical people. But there is a vampire. But he runs the library. He's a librarian. You can rent books from him. He keeps giving me shit about not returning books, and I'm like, dog. Do you see these giant knights? Need these books. They give me +5 to my bonus attack. I'm gonna need these books for a little bit. But it's cool. Very simple. Like,
take your fucking books back.
Yep.
There are other people that want to read those books, Albie.
Well, you know, never have time to read.
Can't just have you gallivanting around with bags full of books.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any real difference between that and Castlevania. Not really. It's like more, I mean, it's more up to date, but there's also like pictures of real people at times and stuff like that as the portraits. I assume that's Kickstarter backers or something like that. They got a portrait in the game.
Probably, yeah.
Well, they just took the face and then probably put it on like a body. Yeah, it's cool. It's good. I enjoy it a bunch. I watched that Castlevania TV show, which got me saying like, I should play a Castlevania game. And then I was like, oh, right, Castlevania's dead. But Bloodstained's good. Uh-huh.
Are you a big Castlevania guy?
No. I would say no. I would say...
Okay, I was going to ask how it stacks up against the actual Castlevania games, but...
I feel like, for the most part, there are a couple good Castlevania games, right? Symphony of the Night, it's very good. But a lot of them just sort of end up sort of middling, and they call it all feels kind of blend together, at least mentally for me. Like, I've played quite a few of them at this point. Gonna get yelled at by Mary, I can feel it. But Bloodstained kind of stacks up well. I think it feels very good. Is it a Symphony of the Night? Is it, like, the best Castlevania game? No, but... it's solid enough, and it's a good start if they want to make a Bloodstained 2 or something like that. I feel like they'll have stuff to work with there, both in terms of, like, the character stuff and then also in terms of, like, progressing it further as all games, I think, should be. They're trying to go somewhere with it. Yeah. Like, I would put it in, like, the top, but, like, the bottom of the top of Castlevania games.
Okay.
It's a middle upper class of Castlevania games.
Great.
It's a
great.
You know.
It'll be a centrist then.
Sure.
Great.
Sure. I get what you're saying.
I don't know. As someone who doesn't want to play those Castlevania games because they seem way too hard and way too like old time type game where you have to do a lot of like really perfect hits and stuff because it's like. Anything will damage you and like hurt you a lot. Is Bloodstained a lot easier to get into? Because I don't want to touch those Castlevanias.
Yeah, a lot easier. It's not very challenging in terms. Like there are some hard bosses in that. But like if you've played, I don't know if you played Hollow Knight or anything like that. But if you played any of those kind of modern games, you're not gonna struggle. You played Ori though, right? So you played Ori in the Blind Forest. You'll be just fine. Ori's harder than Bloodstained so far.
Fair enough. But I assume Ori is more like platformy than anything else, than like fighting or anything.
Yeah. But in terms of like, the combat's not that hard. Once you kind of figure out like, get a good weapon and stuff, and kind of start feeling it, you can be pretty good, yeah. And then you can level up and stuff, and it's not like going to stop you from getting stronger. You can just grind for a bit if you needed to grind to get. It's not hard. You should have no problem. Knowing your level of skill, you should have no problem. No problem at all. Castlevania, here's my hot rate of the Castlevania animated anime TV show. Pretty good. Pretty good fights in that show.
Good
on
Netflix.
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that thing. I forgot about that.
2 seasons so far, 4 episodes in the first one, 8 episodes in the second season. I don't know what the fuck they were doing with that, but
I also remember they only did like four seasons that was done. Oh, sorry, four episodes that was done. Like,
no idea. I could see why people would be upset with the first season. Like four episodes for like a single season of bananas. But it's very enjoyable. Oh, good TV show.
That wasn't even like a half season thing. I thought it was like how The Witcher
is. That's a full
is.
Season. That's Jesus. Four episodes for the full season. You barely get to see Dracula. You know?
No Dracula, I'm out. Yeah.
Until the second. Then it's on. Like Donkey Kong. A lot of Dracula. A lot of hanging out with your boy Drac. That's a neat story. It's cool that they're actually making it into like a thing. But also, I feel like they...
Sure.
Castlevania was always a little silly, and I feel like they haven't... They didn't quite get the silly part of it, you know? Like, there was always a little bit of, like, I don't know, lightheartedness. It's a little... It's a little grimdark. People getting killed. It's not a lot of Castlevania. What am I doing? Yeah. That's the games I played this week. Working on a little bit more Kingdom Hearts. Huh? I'm not gonna talk about that.
No.
This is not the company to talk about.
Nope.
God, now you can see my face bright when I pop open our document. It's like, shh.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I played. I'm working on doing some stuff with the Discovery. Thing in Assassin's Creed Origins, Discovery Tour or whatever. I just want to see what's going on with that.
Yep.
As a history guy, see what's going on. So
is that
I'll
like
have more to report. Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that's in the main menu like straight away, or do you have to like? Okay, cool. So you don't have
as soon
to.
As you boot the game up, you don't need to do anything else.
X amount of time. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. And then I made a mistake though. After that, I started looking at Discovery stuff, and I only did like one tour of the stuff, which was neat. It's just kind of like a guided tour through Alexandria. Was the one I did, but oh my god, I started that game up again for a second, walked around, looked at my map, scrolled out, and went, "Oh no, I can't play any more of this game."
It's so much.
Oh no.
Why I don't want to play the latest one, because I hear it's even more.
It's
like God, no.
I felt a hot sweat. Just like, oh my god, I can never finish that game. After I get done with Discovery Tour, I'm gonna uninstall it. I just can't.
I might have finished it. I can't remember. I honestly cannot remember. I think I finished it.
And I've spent like hours on that game, and I still feel like overloaded with the amount of stuff was on that map. Like, I was gonna do this topic at some point, but one of the things I always want for next gen is, Jesus Christ, stop making these big open worlds that just have like the same thing over and over and over again. Like, please, you can fill them with anything else.
Yeah, good luck with that.
They're never gonna stop it. I know.
I thought it wasn't bad in Origins, at least. Like, it's understandable the amount of desert and shit, because it's there.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's not terrible. But it's no Azul. You know? It's no tightly packed board gaming experience. Right, DJ? You and I... Okay, I'm going to give you a second.
What was... describe Azul. Like, OG Azul. To people.
OG Azul, you're building a stained glass window. There are small, I guess they're plastic, right? Like little plastic pieces.
Yeah, they're little plastic tiles.
You're trying to build like a, there's scoring rules. I'm not going to talk about the scoring rules and stuff like that or any of that stuff. But there's little tiny plastic cubes. You're trying to build like a thing. You get scored on how many pieces you're able to get into the thing. There are two, three, four, six. Every round there are six little like baskets. And every time they put four of those pieces in each basket, and then you take turns taking one color from the basket. So say I'm build this blue stained glass window. I'm going to take these two blue pieces out of this basket, but then the two red pieces go in the middle. And you kind of go around and around and around and around until all the pieces are used up. The whole middle is gone. And then you just put them and slot them in. And you keep going rounds until somebody wins. It's a neat kind of quick game. It feels sort of like chess, maybe like Mahjong or something like that. Like something you would sip tea. Like you could see old people someday sitting on a park bench. You can be very quick with it too. Like I've seen like some higher, like people who really get into Azul, like playing on like time. Like you gotta go really quick. You gotta make your choices really, really quick, like almost speed Azul.
There can be Azul hustlers out
there. Yeah, right.
Like, there's no speed, there's no clock on the game, but I wouldn't, like, speed chess equivalent, speed Azul, that'd actually be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I've seen people do stuff like that, so it's kind of one of those games. It's very tactile, because you're, like, taking these little plastic pieces. Some of them, I think some of the expansions are like glass or something like that, but taking these little pieces and they're little squares and they're really nicely designed little squares with like cute designs on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so tactile. And
it's like a color-coded game, ultimately. Yeah.
Just and slotting like you, these grid.
Yeah. Like, you don't slot them in, by the way, on the actual game. It's just a board. It's just a plastic board.
I slot them in.
Baskets to hold. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like color codey, get points via sticking colors in the right positions to create diagonals or rows or columns, or getting five red blocks in this certain zone and you get
7 points?
The right thing. Yeah, like 7 points or some shit, I forget. But yeah, it's one of those games. And recently, they created a new one, Azul Summer. Help me, Thaden.
Summer Pavilion.
Summer Pavilion.
The king is asking you to make a pavilion rather than make a stained glass window this time.
So, step one with this game is I didn't realize there was like a story to Azul. Turns out there is.
It's like very light. Window shit. I remember. Or something. Very light. Yeah, you're making a pavilion.
Yeah, you're making stained windows or some shit. I forget. I don't know. I had no clue. But there's a little blurb about it in this game. So instead of squares, they're now diamonds. Yep. Diamonds? They're kind of like, yeah, they're weird diamonds.
Triangular. Yeah, diamonds. Listen, you would know, if you were a kid growing up in like the 90s, like you know these little shape they are because you've played with toys like this. They're like little diamonds. Slot together. So, go ahead.
You can create whatever you want with them. It's based on the Azul game, but there's a lot of additions to this game that I love about this game. First of all, it's in this like diamond pattern, so you're almost creating, instead of just one square, you're now creating like the equivalent of flowers with like six of those colors. So there's like five or six of those flowers on your board, your piece, and what you need to do is you need to grab like a bunch of colors, and then say you grab three blues and you want to put a tile each slot in the flower. Say it's the blue flower is labeled 1 2 3 4 5 6. Say you want to put a piece on the blue three, you have to put one piece on there and discard two of the blues that you've collected in the a previous round. So the round still plays roughly like Azul, the base game of like you pull from a basket, the rest goes into the center, and then everyone just pulls whatever they can. Except this time it kind of rewards you for like grabbing as many colors as you can. The previous game it was like you need to collect four blues because that's how many blues you needed to get to that fourth slot. And if you collect like eight blues, then you're gonna fuck yourself because you're gonna get -3.
Yep.
Like if you can't figure out a way to use those three, you just automatically get -3. Whereas there's lots of helping factors here. There's a middle flower there where you can put any color you want, so an emergency slot essentially. And then there's also four saving tiles.
Or you can save them between rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you, like, overstep, like, I fucked up and I have three blues left and I have nowhere to put them, just put them in those save slots and deal with it next round.
Yep.
Or, there's also a thing of like wild card now, wild card colors. So like the first round, the wild card is purple. So you can, whenever you pull from a basket, you get, and there's a wild card there, you can get one wild tile, and the wild tile can contribute to anything. So the three blue that I mentioned, you can then do one blue and two purples,
two wild,
or two blues and one wild, and that just like saves you as well. It's interesting because, yeah, and every round has fixed wild cards, wild tiles, so you can totally like, the round before, grab like four red tiles and then save them for the next round, and you've instantly got four wilds if you want for the next round. It's it's fun. It's interesting. The scores are way higher in this game.
Yep.
But I think that lends to the fact that there's a lot more going on with this game.
It's more crunchy. It reminds me more of like a Pandemic or something like that, or a more like a Monopoly. It's not so, Monopoly is a bad example. Everyone hates Monopoly, but at the same time, it's like the most relevant board game ever. It's more like there's lots more rules and there's lots more like strategy pieces, and you're thinking a little bit more, and you're more in like, more like looking at the board going, okay, what the hell am I going to do this next round? Whereas typical Azul is a little quicker, a little faster, a little bit more relaxed also.
And like original Azul is like, it's way more obvious to screw the other person because like you can see like Thaudin has four of the five reds, so
can't let him get that last red.
Yeah,
like you guys,
I don't really have any reds, so I'll just grab as many reds as possible.
I lost that one game because fucking pop cans. You guys screwed me so many times that game. God.
Yeah, like it's totally a thing in the original game to like easily screw someone over because you can see what they're doing. Whereas this one, like you have lots of wild cards. There's even a central like main flower on the scoring sheet where if you satisfy certain conditions, like have a six of red and a five of red, then it allows you to pick three from that central thing, and it can be any color. It can be three wilds. It can be, as long as it's on those like 10 slots. So it's kind of beneficial to like go there if you need extra tiles, but also you can like opt to wait and have someone else pick them because they always refresh. So that's like, I don't know if you noticed what I was trying to do there in the last game was I was trying to make you guys pick as many of those so I could get wildcard tiles in there.
Right.
Like they just never appeared, but that's what I was trying to do. Like they picked about three different times and refreshed it, but it wasn't working in my favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just more moves you can make and you're thinking more. You're like, okay, am I gonna put these four? I'm going to use this four to put one of the yellows on four, or am I going to save them for next round and try to get like a six or something like that? You're making more like long-term, how am I going to win this game kind of thing. It's like, what am I going to do? I want to score some points. I want to get some big numbers, big scores. I want to get lots of points.
Big money,
no whammies.
And
you can kind of prevent those like bad situations a little bit more. Like, you fucking end up with like, where I'm the last person and there's only this one color, but I've filled up all of that one color already.
Yeah,
I could just save them till next round or use them in some different ways in kind of the middle flower thing. It's a neat game.
Like,
it's a lot of fun.
I remember in one of the original Azul games, like, so when you pick up stuff from the basket, say there's two reds and two blues, you pick up the two reds, the two blues have to go in the middle section. That's just like all of the Azul games that occurs. I remember one game, Thaudin had like pretty much all the blues, but Popcans and me picked the colors.
You're a monster.
In the perfect way so that Thaudin was left with like eight blues in the middle and you have to pick them up. So he just lost like 12 points or something immediately.
Oh, it's funny.
It was pretty good.
Smoked me. Like, it's like, well, I lost that game. Like,
yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, some are, like, I feel like there are three Azul games now, and I feel like each one is so different. Like, they all, like, have kind of the same idea of, like, nice little plastic, like, glass pieces. And you're making a little shape or something like that. You're trying to, like, kind of, you know, build upon itself. But they're all so it's such an amazing thing about board games, really video games too, is how a simple formula can be like made really, really differently just by little tweaks to it. Yeah. It's so neat. It's great. Really. If you haven't checked out any of the Azul games, I think they're like $30 or something like that on Amazon. Check them out. They're cool. Good family games. You know, family. You can have the grandma play this one too. She could get
it. Well, they're also on Tabletop Simulator, but yeah.
I wouldn't try to get your grandma to play it in Tabletop Simulator, though.
No, don't do that.
She wouldn't understand that.
That's a bad idea. Don't do that.
She'll end up in some rooms you do not want her in multiplayer. Don't you worry. But also, they come in nice cloth bags in real life. Zool, they come in like nice cloth things, and you're like, you cinch them open and you slot them together. Tactile sensations. It's great. Azul's great.
Big Billy features in Tabletop Sim.
Billy.
He's going to go clearly.
Yep. Can I ask you? Can I ask you, is Big Billy a new character in Heroes of the Storm, DJ?
No. I wish he was, or she. Like, I'm not.
That'd be awesome,
I wish
though.
They were. Yes.
Yeah.
Hutz is not dead. Their skins are looking very like neutered down to what they used to do, like graphics wise and all that sort of stuff.
That's
like they're currently doing their toy system again, and like there's like Green Army Raynor, and there's like, you know, like the Green Army dudes, like the plastic ones, and then there's also green other green things. But they don't walk like plastic things. They're not like clinky clinky. It's just a
clinky,
green skin
clinky
on them, which is a shame. But if you do like a lap of their dumb board game special event thing, you do get a green horse, like a green toy horse, and that totally does the like static like plastic horse movement, like.
It's got like the bass on it and stuff.
Boop, boop. Yeah, yeah. And nice. Like there's no motion on it whatsoever other than it's just like bouncing forward and backward and stuff. It's
that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good skin.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I played HOTS because League of Legends was freaking out a couple days ago. Like it just wasn't loading or anything. I think their server's just completely busted. And I was like, I do want to play this a game, and HOTS is like the closest to an ARAM, essentially. It's still good. They haven't changed much of the characters. Like, ETC is the exact same. Stitches is the exact same. I'm doing, like, the same builds with all of these guys that I've been playing before. So there's almost no, like, memory loss or, like, skill loss entirely from previously playing. And, like, they have been adding a few characters. Like, there's a guy called Anduin, who's a healer, and I have not played him, so I don't know, like, his skills.
In Twitch chat,
I linked a YouTube video, because the latest character they've got is a fucking giant dragon, apparently.
Deathwing! All right,
yeah,
cool!
Yeah, Deathwing the dragon. And the first time I was in a game with him, it was menacing as shit, because I didn't know what the fuck was happening. Like, suddenly this giant dragon just drops down with this health bar that's like 6,000 HP or some shit. I'm like, what? This doesn't seem right.
This is a problem.
Yeah, like, what are they doing? Are they just trying
we're
to
in
break
trouble.
The game now? Yeah.
That'd be a really funny thing to do at the end of the life cycle of a game. Just, like, destroy it.
Yeah, everybody just can make get a hero gold rank. Cost, like, 30,000 gold, but like it's just the most.
It's auto win.
Character.
It's auto win.
Yeah,
you start the game at level 30, right?
Yeah, and like looking at this spotlight, the Deathwing character's interesting in that like it's slow as shit and it's so huge, so like its turn radius sucks and like its attack radius is bad. Like its main attack damage item is just like a channel in one direction which can't move, so you can totally just juke the shit out of this character if you are good enough at like clicking around it, but it's still kind of a pain in the ass to bring it down like Cho'Gall. Like the health bar is just so much, and it's one player as well, whereas like the Cho'Gall person at least it takes up two slots.
It's a big goddamn dragon.
Yeah, it's big and menacing.
He's also got a metal jaw.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're still doing their bullshit of like, here, do the brawl to get a chest, but the chest contains duplicates, so you have to re-roll with the gold, the in-game gold, to get anything remotely good, and it's not anything remotely good. Yeah, their whole like economy system is still pretty fucked in that game.
Sure, I could see that. I sort of feel the same way about Overwatch.
They do dupes, don't they? Yeah, it's rare, right?
Rare now, yeah. It's just, but it also, it's like, great, I open this chest, and it's like, four voice lines for characters I don't really care about.
Yeah, or stickers. Yeah, there's stickers in that game as well, sprays.
All right. Oh, that's cool. It's still alive, sort of. It's an undead MOBA.
For now.
Hey, I mean, yeah, I think we've talked about HOTS a lot.
Yeah, there's no need to describe the game or anything. It's a great game. Fun game. I like them. I like it. It's still casual. The queues aren't too bad in quick match currently, so that's good. And then I've been playing more Yakuza Kiwami 1. Mm-hmm. I bought the Division 2 for playing on GeForce Now. I just haven't got around to actually playing it. But hopefully I'll play that for next week.
How's my boy Kiryu doing?
He's good. Kiwami 1 is... Yakuza 0 is a better game. But I think that stems largely from the fact that Kiwami 1 is based off Yakuza 1. So...
Yeah.
A lot of their ideas and stuff were very limiting. Like the sub-stories I think I mentioned is just like, here's an issue that occurs.
Right.
Kiryu's going to fight them and it's over. Like there's decent funny text of like, this fake cop is hustling Yakuzas saying like, give me money, give me a bribe or I'm going to send you to jail. And like this other Yakuza comes over and says like, I figured you out. You're a fake cop. I'm going to shank you, because he pulls out this half-sized samurai sword and the fake cop just fucking bolts it. So like you go down the street and then you find him and then you have to fight the fake cop. And turns out he goes down in like two hits, obviously. And then like... Kiryu just leaves the fake cop to like this Yakuza and like, don't leave this guy to me, my family will handle him. And Kiryu's like, fuck it, dude might die, not my business.
Okay. Huh.
There's a lot of stories like that. They don't really segue to like buildings or anything like that in the sub stories.
Sure. Yeah.
And while the story is interesting, it's a lot of like, placing Kiryu in the world of like, mm-hmm. Here's Kiryu's stance on this, here's Kiryu's stance on like hostess people, or here's him helping the homeless people, here's him being a good guy in this area, here's him fighting this crazy guy called Majima. It's large. Half of this game is largely building up Kiryu as a character, which is weird when I've played Yakuza 0, which has kind of done the same, but better.
Mm-hmm.
But I can accept it, because it's the first game.
How long is it in comparison? I mean, I know you haven't beaten it yet.
It's more of a straight line as well. Like, it's totally a straight line game. Like, you can go from main thing to main thing to main thing and not do, like, any of the side story if you want. Like I'm trying to force myself to go to the sub stories and all that stuff to collect shit and whatnot. But I've collected so many weapons and stuff. I've like upgraded myself so much that I think I could just hot rush my way in the last like 4 hours of this game and probably finish it if I go directly.
Huh.
Yeah, it's an alright game. My kind of worry is Yakuza Kiwami 2 is based on the 6 engine, so it should theoretically be a lot better than this game. It should just run better. It should be better. The story should probably be better. The side stuff should be better because it should have the should theoretically have the side content of 6 as well in there. However, like once 2's done, the only way I think I can continue the story is getting that remastered collection that's on PS4, which has 3, 4, and 5 in. And I wouldn't be surprised if that like takes a big dip again in like quality, 3 especially. I've talked to someone who's played most of the Yakuza games, and he says like 4 and 5 is good. Like they get good with like multiple characters and better fighting styles and all that stuff because like it's further along in the storyline. So they've started to actually focus more and had bigger budgets for these games. So I think that's where it's going to be okay. I just worry about Yakuza 3 like killing me off the series.
Yeah. Have they announced at all that they're going to do like a co-op?
I don't think so. Like, my logic was Yakuza 1 and 2 were like basically PS2 games.
Right.
So they were like very valid on doing Kiwami 1 and 2. And they just did them on PC because they were like selling fucking tons of codes on PC. And like, it's just another market user base. Whereas 3, 4, and 5, I think, are PS3. And that's finicky enough coding to just get it running on fucking PS4 good. So, like, I'm pretty sure they're not going to do it on PC. Yeah.
Do you think are they on PC, though? Like, 3,
no,
4, and 5?
No, 3, 4, and 5 are not.
Maybe they'll just do that. Maybe
6
just,
is like, not even.
Release those on PC at some point. Like, maybe that.
Like I said, I don't think so because the PS3 coding was so weird and stuff that
that cell processor.
Yeah, it doesn't translate as nicely. Whereas 0 and Kiwami and 6 were like PS4 specific games, so like it translates easier at least. They haven't announced 6 on PC either, so I don't know.
Here's a hot question for you: what's the cell processor going to be of this next generation of consoles? It's a terrible tagline.
It'll be whatever that hyper fast storage space is, because I don't think it's like M2 drives. I think it's another.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
HBM. Midge in the chat is saying HBM.
HBM.
That'll be the hot cell processor equivalent business.
Okay.
And I say that because buying an external version of that is gonna cost the customer a crazy amount.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Good answer. I have any other. There's always like a hot tagline they come out with, like cell processor.
What was the PS4's?
Vapor chamber.
Oh, vapor chamber is good. Yeah.
That wasn't the PS4. That was Xbox.
No, but that was good.
Wasn't it also like DDR5 something RAM or something like that?
Yes, GDDR5.
GDDR like or something gigs. Like that. 8 gigs. Teraflops or whatever it was also another one.
Many.
GDDR5. Welcome to 2013.
The future of console gaming.
Or whenever GDDR5 was like a thing.
It's been a while. Speaking of, it's been a while, Jake. Session. It's been a while since we've talked about Session.
So
that's a good transition. Don't give me no shit on that.
No, that was not very good. But they added skate controls to Session. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the quote unquote legacy control scheme, and there's other shit you can do with like the default control scheme in Session that you technically can't really do with the legacy controls. So there is a give and take there. Like you can do some real crazy shit with the default controls. Because like I played it with the default controls for like about an hour, and I got the controls down. It was still really, my brain still wasn't wrapped around turning with the triggers. But other than that, like the tricks and stuff, I kind of figured that out. But man, Legacy just feels like home.
Yeah, I assumed
like,
so.
Oh my God.
It's coming home again.
Okay, Shit, man, I loaded that up, switched it to Legacy, and I just, like, went. And I was like, this feels fucking great.
Okay, so it's like, pretty fluid. Awesome. There's no, like, finicky business with it either.
There's some kind of weird shit. Like, you need to... In my opinion, there's more that you need to kind of tweak. Because there's some pretty detailed control settings you can change. Like, hey, I want to manually catch the board when I do flip tricks.
Right, that's cool.
Like, you can set that, or I want to automatically catch it, or
right.
if I flick one of the sticks in a direction and I hold it, I want that flip to just
endlessly
keep going.
Flipping. Yep.
Yeah. So you can kind of do that still with the Legacy controls, because that was the thing in Skate. Like, you could do kick flips and just hold the stick and it would just keep, you would go to like four flips.
Yeah, I think
like
that was the most it would do.
But you can do things like spin the board 540 or 720 rather than just a regular
360 shove.
So there's a give and take there. But after I kind of tweaked a bunch of the settings, it's it's pretty good.
Wow. Why did they add skate controls? Do you think? Is it like
everyone wants some?
Everybody wants
because
skate?
Everybody.
I guess yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
They want to bring those people in,
and they want to sell their game.
The controls. The controls are a point where they're just like, "Nah, I'm good." It's like, I know how to play Skate. I don't want to relearn another control system.
Because
like Skate's learning curve was already pretty fucking tough.
Do you think they make that the default from now on, or what? Like,
no way. Because they're big on doing like realistic,
right?
Ish skating. It's supposed to be like a simulator, basically.
Okay.
So they're going to roll with the control scheme they came up with.
Sure.
They just threw this in there as like, hey, we have this too. If you want to come play our game, we have this as an entry point because we know what control scheme the people who are playing this are familiar with.
Okay.
And then I'm guessing they probably want to use it like as a stepping stone kind of. It's like, hey, you got it. We have skate controls. Maybe try out our default control scheme.
Yep.
After you play around for a bit, there's some other cool shit you can do with it that you can't necessarily do with the skate controls. So.
Yeah, I think you just put like a, what kind of control scheme are you used to? Would you rather try this or like one of those like startup menu kind of things? Just a quick select between the two. You could even do like a tutorial between the two, like try to link them in some way, like a, hey, this is our this other control scheme for people that know skate. Here's how you do this or that or this or that. Yeah, that's neat.
It was pretty good on their Twitter account. They teased it by going, they like posted a like a Photoshop postcard, and it was like, greetings, Sam Vanalona from New York City.
Yeah,
it's like, we know you do things a little differently over there, but we've got something that you guys might like coming up.
Huh.
So, because San Vanalona is the city that was the skate games. First two, at least.
So, two questions. One is, like, in Session, are there multiple maps? Or, like, can you customize your character and stuff?
There are a few maps. Because
I thought there was a new one, right?
There's a skate park, and there's, like, a parking garage. And then there's, like, the big New York City one that was just like the starting place that is pretty fucking big. There's a lot of shit to skate there. So, but there's no like goals or progression or anything right now.
For now. Cause it's still way early, isn't it? Technically
pretty early.
I think
access,
I saw
yeah.
like the, yeah, the version that this update is a 0.0.0.3.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good
tweet. Yep. But it looks
man, they got
good.
Like, they got the, when you get off your board, you can hit Y again and it'll go into like the object dropper mode.
Right.
You can like pick up tables and shit and move stuff around. It's awesome. And it's got the whole replay system.
Cool.
I saw that in the skate park, you can move and adjust like everything in that skate park.
Yeah, the existing ramps you can move around and stuff, yeah.
I think that's awesome specifically. And then the other question, well, two other questions is there online, like, can you just create a game session and have other people fuck around in the game with you?
I don't think so.
A shame. And then, now that this update's out, which is the best, like, skater game currently in early access? Because there's Skater XL, I swear there's a third one.
Hmm.
I don't think there's a third
one. Oh, okay. Is this better than Skater XL, then? Which one do you think's best so far?
Well, Session's doing a lot more to lean me over that way.
Right.
But Skater XL's got a little bit more, like, stuff you can do, and just, like, custom map importing is, like, out of the box now. Right. Like, they have a menu for custom maps. Here you go, and you just go on the internet and download maps people make. So, I mean, they're both pretty good in their own way.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, sir, I don't like to call you a prophet, but you have... their game that has lately taken off, that you've talked about in the podcast several times, and I just want to talk to you about it a little bit. Tarkov. Escape from Tarkov.
Been escaping from Tarkov, or at least trying to.
That game took off this
week. Spoilers.
Like last 2 weeks.
Nobody has ever escaped from Tarkov. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies in Tarkov?
Wow.
Wow.
Over and over. Yeah.
That's a shame. Is there a way to escape from Tarkov?
No.
Poor Tarkovians. People from Tarkov. So this game is, like, big on Twitch now? Like, pretty damn big all of a sudden? Like, I looked away from it, and then suddenly it got really big? Like a...
Twitch drops were a big thing
I bet.
For that. Yeah, it was like, because, like, items and shit in game is huge in that, and I think they were giving out some really good stuff.
Neat. Okay.
For Twitch drops, yeah. So people were like, yo, I don't have to go fight people for this shit, and I don't have to spend money on, like, in-game money on this stuff. Let's go watch these streamers.
Okay. So, but, yeah, explain. Okay, so there is a scav run, which you get a random set of gear, and you go in and you try...
A random set of kind of shitty gear.
Okay.
Like, you don't get good stuff. Sometimes you'll get some decent armor, or, like, a nice chest rig to put, like, your magazines and stuff in, but probably not.
So your job is
You might not get a backpack.
Okay.
You might not get any kind of armor.
Pretty scav.
Your AK might not have a stock or a dust cover on it. No. Just exposing the spring on the bolt.
That bad?
Yeah. I mean, not really. It's an AK.
They could do anything.
You could stuff mud in that thing and it would still fire. So. But yeah. Okay. So I've explained this a couple of times.
Yes.
So the game sessions are instanced.
Uh-huh.
I've been honing this. The game sessions are instanced.
Okay.
There's, like, 7 to 12 players that go in as their main characters, their PMC.
All right.
That can have good stuff on them. And they all have objectives. Either they just pick a task from one of the vendors, right? Because there's all this persisting shit that goes on in the background with your stash, and, like, you can level your character up and your abilities get better and stuff like that.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So you spawn in and it gives you two or three exit points, like random exit points around the map. And you have to know the map because it just tells you the name of it. And you have to know the map to know where that is. And so... essentially, it gives you a route across the map for everybody. So everybody's going to hopefully cross paths at some point. And there are AI scavengers, or there are player scavengers, who are on their scav run. And the rounds are like 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the map.
Okay.
And player scavs tend to load in later. So you start a scav run, you hit your timer, and it's like, yo, you got 15 minutes. It's like, oh, shit. But the good thing about that is that means that a lot of the people are already out.
Right, okay.
Something that happens fairly regularly is you'll spawn in, you'll kill someone who's got some baller gear, and you don't have any other objectives, and you just fucking book it to an exit.
Neat. Okay.
Do you have, like, in-game map once you're there? Because you mentioned knowing the map.
There's nothing in-game. Like...
Okay.
Like, when you're playing, like, actually...
Yes, like,
playing
when
the
like,
game, yeah. There's no... You gotta load up a map on a second monitor or something that somebody's
wow.
made.
Wow.
So,
there are some really good maps, though.
Okay. Multiple maps. I didn't know there were multiple maps.
Detail every little thing. It's like... There's a weapons case here. There's two jackets here, and like keys will spawn in these, so you can, you know, go open up locked doors that have good loot in them. Or they'll unlock a shortcut, like on the map customs. There's this big concrete wall that like runs down part of the map, and there's like a guard station or something there, but the door's locked unless you have the key. Then you can go through, and there's a little bit of loot in there, but it gets you through the other side without
That's
having to
key.
Run all the way down and then back around and maybe get shot at.
Huh. That's very interesting. So it's sort of like the scavs, like there's AI scavs. They're kind of like I almost feel like minions in like a MOBA or something like that. Like they're just sort of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat. I had never...
But there's a scav boss on some of these maps.
What?
And he has, yeah. So the scav boss has some, like, better gear. And, like, there's four scav bosses now, I think. Four or three?
Weird. Okay.
Killa, Rashala, the guy on reserves, and I don't know. But they're like, they're supposed to be like XPMCs or whatever, or they're like gang lords or something shit. But they come in with a posse of five dudes who are like kitted out.
Oh, wow.
So they're like super scavs, basically.
Super.
And they have good armor and shit on them. But you get some really good guns and gear off those guys. And one of them has a golden pistol that doesn't kill stuff in one shot. It's not golden.
Huh. Okay. So somebody described this game to me as like the best 15 minutes of PUBG every game. Like really much more sort of intensely, like kind of boiled down.
It
almost.
Can be tense if you want to make it tense.
Okay.
So there's a video floating around out there called The Two Types of Tarkov Players. And you got the rat. Who sneaks around and takes shit and like waits for people to stop fighting and then jumps in and third parties the last guy.
That's me.
Like that kind of shit.
That's exactly
me. Yep.
Or there's the Chad who actually goes out and seeks out fights. It's like, oh, I hear gunfire. Let's go to the gunfire and go get in a fight. Which I mean can be all right if you're with like a squad. Squad.
Hashtag squad.
That sounds like a lot of my PUBG games when I was playing with Midge and Gaff. Because Midge would just be the Chad guy. Hears gunfire, runs for it, needs to go. Me, I'm just like, but there's loot here. We should loot up.
Loot this stuff, please.
Let's just wait on the edge. We could totally do that.
Right. That's a really neat idea. I'd never even. It's a neat like little twist on, sort. It's sort of like a battle royale, but then like it's sort of twisted in some weird ways. That's cool. Yeah.
Is there a timer business? Is there a reason to like push you through to force you to rush through things or anything? Can you like?
Yeah, because if you're still in when the timer goes off, you are MIA and you lose your stuff.
Okay. What's the timer, like 30 minutes?
Depends on the map.
Sure.
Okay.
Like, if it's a smaller map, it'll be like 30 minutes. But there's other ones that are like 45. So you can take it pretty slow. Like, you can probably walk across the bigger maps in probably like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can take that slow then.
5-10 minutes maybe.
Well,
And you said there was 7 to 12 real players. How many scavs, like how many total players on a map? Including scavs and AI. Has there been a number?
Oh shit, there's a lot.
Like over 100?
No.
A 5 to 10 minute map, over 100 people. Jesus.
Yeah. You know it.
I don't know about scav counts. That's a good question. I want to say it's like 8 player scavs, okay. But then there's it could just be a random be amount of AI.
Like
20,
30. Yeah. Okay, cool. Have you noticed there much of a difference? Like, I know you've been talking about this game for a while. Have you noticed now that it's kind of getting more popular? I don't know, shorter queue times or anything like that, or like,
it runs a lot better.
Hey,
like they've improved that a lot. Runs a lot better.
That's the best choice they can make.
The flea market that they added was huge for that game, because just like,
is that player trading?
Yeah, for items and stuff. So like, I sold like 600K rubles of stuff this morning because I had too much shit in my inventory and I was just like, I'm not going to use this stuff. And here's a bunch of starter garbage stuff that's just been sitting in my inventory that I'm never going to use. So I just get rid of this stuff. I just took the time and put it all up on the flea market. And there's like levels to the flea market. Like as you sell more shit, your trading level goes up. And once you hit different tiers of that, you can put more stuff out simultaneously, like listings.
Is rubles the in-game currency? Like, what's the
rubles are like the main in-game currency. There's rubles, euros, and US dollars. But rubles are like the main one. Because there are vendors that will deal in US dollars.
Only the best USA.
The guy that deals in U.S. dollars is the one that has all like the U.S. military shit, like the M4s right. And like MP5s and stuff. Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. Have you had any great runs yet? What's your best run?
I had a pretty decent one this morning. It was a scav run. I didn't fire a single shot. I didn't see any players. I just the good thing about scav runs is unless you shoot another scav, they're friendly to you, the AI.
Right. Okay.
So if you shoot one, I don't know if it's map wide anymore. Like it used to be that every scav on the map was like, you're hostile now. I think it might just be an AOE thing now. Like if you kill a scav, it's just gonna be the scavs in the area.
Okay.
Start aggroing. But the thing is, you can use them as kind of a canary. Because if you just kind of follow them around and they'll like, they'll walk into places that have like bodies and stuff, you can go loot. And their aggro range is pretty far. So if you hear one of them yell and start shooting, you can actually get out of looting and go throw down.
Huh.
So
I just had a question. 1 second. Remember it. How do you tell a scav from a PMC? How do you tell one of your AI buddies from a
just by the way they move? Like part of my scav run this morning, I was moving around like a bot, like intentionally moving around like a bot. Like if I was going to walk across like a really exposed road, I would just like walk slowly, just looking straight forward and just slowly sway my aiming around just to kind of look like that's a bot. Funny. And I would spam like the voice lines and shit. Cause that's kind of what they do. Cause a lot of the times if you're really fucking far away, you're just a scav like AI most of the time. It's like, yeah, you can take the fight, but.
Huh. Is there a reason you want to pretend to be AI? Just people
to not get shot. Okay. Some people just, or to bait people into trying to kill you with a hatchet. Yeah. Okay. Because there's hatchet runs where you just go in as your PMC with nothing but like an axe or just like one pistol with no magazines. And they added a thing just recently where if you do that, all of the scavs like hunt you down. Like they actively, if they find you, they will chase you.
That's funny.
Yeah. So they're called hatchlings. It's a hatchet.
Okay. But that's terrifying, but all right.
Yeah. So it used to be a thing where you would go around and act like a bot and then just kind of, you hear somebody run up behind you and you just spin around and just dome them with your gun.
Okay. That's neat. Huh. I'm glad it's taken off. That's cool. I'm tempted.
I'm still getting my ass kicked in actual PvP fights.
Okay.
Like against other PMCs. I don't think I've won a PMC fight yet. Killed a lot of scavs because they're terrible shots.
But PMC's kicking your butt, huh?
But keep getting wrecked by PMCs, man.
Well, at some point, it's coming to Steam at some point, right? Tell me it's coming to Steam, maybe.
I don't think so.
No, no need.
I guess not. I don't know. I'm going to wait until it drops. They have a deal right now.
Good luck.
Or they had a deal last night. I don't know, for like 20%.
Those are pretty rare. Like, they know what they have. They're not discounting it.
That's true. Speaking of transitions I should have had before, but then did not use, The Walking Dead. Saints and Sinners.
Yep. I picked up a copy of that. That is a VR game, for people who don't know.
What?
A really fucking good VR game.
Huh.
Like, it's really fucking good. Like, there's systems, and there's, like, crafting, and it's kind of it's like pseudo-open world, sort of. Like, there's zones you fast travel to, basically. Then there's, like, the safe zone, which is, like, you live in a bus, and that's where you craft all your stuff, and then that's where you sleep until the next morning, and then you can leave and go do other shit. But the level of interactivity is actually pretty cool. Like, when you go into houses, like, all of the drawers open, all of the cupboards open, that kind of shit, and there's stuff in all of them. So
kind of stuff.
Like, you just, it's just random junk, okay. But you break that stuff down for parts, and that's what you use to craft stuff with.
A lot like my drawers. Stuff, pencils, cooking.
And I just got to an area where there are like factions of people.
Really? Okay.
That have guns. And I can't tell if they're friendly or not because, like, they're not shooting at me, but if I walk up and I try to, like, walk into their place, like, they start saying, like, aggressive shit. So I'm like, okay, I'm leaving later. It's like, I don't have the firepower to fight you guys right now.
Where's this set? Is it New Orleans?
I think so.
I see a lot of water in these pictures.
It's got a
the bayou or something like that. Neat.
They took a lot of stuff. I shouldn't say a lot of stuff, but they took some pointers from Boneworks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can tell. Like, if you have a big melee weapon and you try to swing it with one hand, it just like wobbles around and it's really hard to control. But you grab that shit with your other hand, and then you can just wreck shit. It's not like your hands interact with, like, everything. Like, hit everything, you know, kind of like in Boneworks.
Right.
But there's climbing. You can... It's like, I need to get over this chest-high thing. You just put your hand up and just push down and you just go up on top of it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'd never heard of this game. I'll be honest. I don't even know what the questions are. Is it... How much Walking Dead is in this... Like, how much outside of it being a zombie game, how much of it, like, I don't know, I don't even know his name. Is any characters from the TV show? Not that you would specifically know or anything, kind of.
I don't think so.
They call them walkers?
Yes.
Okay, good. Dave?
Good.
Good.
But there's like a story mode that I'm kind of slowly going through, and then you'll find people that are like, hey, I need this thing done. Or whatever. Like one of the first side quests you get is this lady's like, hey, my husband changed. He's in the top of this blue building across the zone. It's like, can you go put him to rest and give me his ring? And you go and you do that, and he drops a note or something when you kill him along with the ring, and you read the note, and it turns out he did some pretty nefarious shit that you can choose to tell the lady about after when you give her the ring. So, cause there's a lot of like the choice stuff from like the Telltale games.
I see what you're saying.
Like there's some of that in there too.
Huh. Wow. This looks really, it's pretty fully fleshed out. That's neat.
Huh? Yeah. I was very surprised considering it's from I've never even heard of this studio before.
Skydance Interactive, right?
Yeah.
Skydance. What else did they make?
Fucking whatever. That's a damn good VR game debut. It's like,
yeah.
Make more. You guys,
they know what they're doing, clearly.
It's worth the $40 for sure.
That's just good VR games. We need more.
Indeed.
You think there's gonna be more? Do you think we get a new VR headset with PlayStation 5? I think I'm gonna ask that already. What do you think?
Apparently so.
Maybe.
The rumors are pointing to yes.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, sir. What are you drinking? Water. Is the sludge? Oh, that's ice. Water. Okay.
The sludge.
Kinda looked like.
Here we go. We eat the sludge here. Just, like I say, I'm always worried like someone's gonna do something weird on stream. It's just me drinking slug.
Yep. Me. No, there's been rumors that the PS5 is going to have an upgraded PSVR. What they do, I have no clue. Maybe probably fix their latency with the bullshit.
Yeah, and like the tracking system that they have right now probably just needs to go. Because it's using like 9-year-old tech at this point.
If they do, like, what would they need to do to kind of push it towards like the top of the pack? You guys have VR
screens. Fix their tracking issue. From what I've heard,
get good inside-out tracking with the headsets. You don't have to set up anything.
Oh, and good. I'll make it work with the Knuckles.
Okay.
If that's a thing they can do.
Oh, yeah, good luck. You need lighthouses for the Knuckles.
Oh, yeah, you do, yeah. Well, get good Joy-Con equivalents or something like that. Make them work with something good. Some good motion tracking, because from what I've heard, the PSVRs are like the comfiest headsets.
Yeah.
I've heard stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
And it worked well with my glasses the one time I tried it, back when I was wearing glasses.
That's cool.
And those were pretty like thick black frame glasses. And it fit just right on them. I think the lenses were like kind of resting against the lenses on the PSVR, which is kind of sketchy.
Sure. Yeah.
But it worked, like it fit on my face and everything, so.
Yeah, so like screen tracking is their biggest thing, and then have something better than the Windows handhelds, because I think the biggest thing holding the Windows brands back is they're stuck with those handheld sticks, and they are garbage.
Are they not very good?
I've heard that's the biggest issue with those Windows thingies. Like the Samsung Odyssey, I think, is still like a top of the line one, except for the fact that it's married to those sticky things.
Yeah, the Windows mixed reality controllers.
It's gonna come out sounding meaner than I mean it to, but is that what you were? Is I don't know, is a new headset even what VR needs right now? Like, what would... What's the next step for...
VR needs good games right now.
Games, yeah.
Because we're in a good spot with headset tech, I would say, for the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's still kind of janky. You're still going to have some setup issues, but it's getting better. Like, the Windows, the whole idea behind Windows Mixed Reality, where you just fucking plug that shit in, maybe move a coffee table out of the way, you're ready to go.
Okay.
Same thing with the Quest. The Rift S and the Quest. Yeah, exactly.
Sort of.
It's like getting rid of the external trackers is big.
Yes.
But the next step is to make that inside out tracking better.
Okay.
Or like I've said previously on this podcast, of like WWE records their pre-shows in VR and like shows them live, but only to Oculus Go and like the Samsung Go, not even like the Samsung Odyssey, like the previous one they used to use.
Huh.
Gear VR. Yeah, like those two.
Really?
Yeah, it's like really weird. Old tech that they show live, and they don't show it to the Oculus Quest or the Oculus Rift or anything like that. It's madness.
The only reason you buy a Gear VR nowadays is to take the lenses out of it and upgrade your Vive.
So yeah, like having services like that, or having the NBA finals, all seven games live instead of just highlight reels, live games in VR, you're courtside, you're watching that shit. Because those 3D VR like highlight reels are really fucking cool.
Huh.
You get to see Kofi's ass right all up in your eyes. It's good stuff.
It's going to be a no from me, but it's a deep. Cool. New, more games.
Yeah, better games.
Yes, games and services to like
better pizza.
Bring people in. Yeah, have Google Assistant there just purely so you can shout, "I want an extra large Papa John's pizza."
Deliver it
Google,
to me.
But gets it for you. Yep.
And you walk out with your.
And then you can have a Ring app, so with your Ring doorbell, you can answer it in VR.
It pops up right here, and it's like, oh, I'm coming out to the door right now.
And then you talk to the guy.
Let me press this button and go to AR so I can see through my headset.
Yeah.
So I never have to take this off.
Some headsets have that. Yes, that's the goal.
Great. Just go see through here so I can never have to take these off. This is better than my eyes. Yeah, I don't know. VR needs games.
I'm looking forward to see if... Yeah, looking forward to Alex. Half-Life Alyx. That's like next month, isn't it?
It is right around the corner.
March 23rd, I think, was the date they announced for it.
Same year Final Fantasy VII comes out, a new Half-Life game comes out. It's weird, isn't it? It's fucking weird. And we're going to get two consoles later this year. It's a weird year. Weird year. But cool. Yeah, I don't know. At some point, maybe I'll get a VR headset. Maybe I'll get a PlayStation 1. Maybe.
If you have a PC that can run VR games, buy a PC VR headset.
I think you do, don't you? You upgraded your PC.
Yeah, I have a 1070.
Recently. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
I know.
That'll work.
I know, all right? Just, I don't know how much use I would get out of it, really. It's just one of those things from
a lot. I have a 1070. It's right. Totally fine.
But what would I do with
it? I think he's talking about the headset itself.
Talking about
like
me.
How much is he actually going to use it?
How much use would me get out of it? I'm just not a big shooting gallery kind of guy. Like, I don't know.
Play Rec Room. You like talking to people. Dodgeball and shit.
I mean, yes, we could do a great trash stream, I bet, on some really terrible VR game.
VR multiplayer games are a different experience, put it that way. Like, there is a period of it being kind of weird. It just, like, feels weird. Like, going in, like, VR chat or something, and it's like, you're just, there's other people just there. And, like, Rec Room. Like, that kind of shit. Like, being able to see people and, like, talk with your hands and stuff is a little weird at first, but you get over it pretty quickly.
Just gotta let your inner Italian out, you know? Just gotta be... use your hands a lot. That's what you gotta do. Learn to be...
Say hand checks in VR chat.
No.
There should be.
There should be.
Rapid in the chat is asking if I would ever consider getting another index. I don't know. I am not entirely sure. I think at this point, I'm just going to stick with my OG Rift. Just because it's the ergonomics of it are way better, in my opinion. I didn't really like the index controllers, I guess. I mean, I only got to play with it for a single night, unfortunately. So I didn't really get the full experience. But I could tell that like the headset is very front heavy compared to like the Rift.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is,
you said that.
The Rift is really fucking light and you can wear that shit for hours.
You tried Rift S for like comparison's sake? No.
Nope, don't care.
So yeah,
like I've already got my crazy person set up in here, so, and I got all my lighthouses on, or all my sensors on the ceiling.
Right.
So it's like everything's set up. If I want to play a VR game, I just launch the app, get up, put the headset on. I'm good to go.
Huh.
So like, and then they bumped the refresh rate of the screens down on the Rift S.
Right.
And there's some other shit. Like the inside out tracking.
S is a different screen.
Yeah. I mean, the screen's probably better, like quality wise, like visual quality, but I mean, like refresh rate is kind of big.
Right.
Like when I had that index for that evening, I messed around with the higher refresh rate shit and it makes a huge difference.
Huh.
Like it's nuts. Like I was like, yeah, I'm going to go play this game that's not super hard on my GPU. And I'm going to turn the headset on to 120 frames per second instead of the default 90.
Right.
See if we can hit 120 consistently.
Huh. Okay. Well, gentlemen, shall we move on to news then? The news?
Let's do it.
The news?
Sure.
News. Courtesy of our friend, Rapid, who you just mentioned. We've learned that the Need for Speed developers... it's changing hands. Need for Speed is changing hands. Changing developer hands. It's being moved back to Criterion. Back to Criterion. And then Ghost Games is becoming an EA engineering hub.
We're just getting absorbed into EA.
They're being absorbed. They are becoming one with the Electronic Arts. So this kind of comes on the tails of some other weird stuff. There was that announcement that, they had canceled a spinoff of the Battlefront series, that they were working on again. Some like weird moving and shaking inside of EA right now in terms of like pieces are moving around. It's a shame. People seem to like that new Need for Speed a lot. I know a lot of people are upset on the like Need for Speed forums. They're starting to break some new ground with the Need for Speed series, I feel like, with Ghost Games. They were starting to... some ideas there. And all of it wasn't great. I'm just going to tell you all it was great. But there were some new ideas there. There was some interesting stuff that they were starting to do. Criterion. Also, Criterion's still around. I fully forgot they existed. It's just on me, though.
Yep. Think they were doing Battlefield stuff. Almost always, like, if a company was around, they were doing Battlefield shit. Yeah, like you said, Need for Speed Heat was like... it wasn't like the comeback, as you'd expect from like the high highs of Need for Speed, but it was like totally fine compared to the previous games, like including the FMV one. Like all the FMV one had was like face palming FMV and like okay driving, and it just looked really nice. That was like the ultimate thing about that game. It like the nighttime aesthetic looked really cool. And then they kind of bring it back kind of with this one because you have a day-night cycle and stuff. Well, not cycle, but yeah, two factions of the night, day and night and day. It seems like the story wasn't atrocious in this one, which is a rarity for Need for Speed. But by and large, I think this is fine, because hopefully what Ghost Games and Criterion will do is they'll figure out who was working best where. Like, hopefully this just means more people are now working on that game and they can, like, shuffle around to
shuffle
the right
teams,
places
yeah.
they need to be. Yeah.
Shuffle members. Hopefully.
Yeah, and yeah, hopefully they get something good through this.
Some, like, weird movement inside of EA right now. I mean, there's that Anthem stuff with Anthem Next. Like, he's in a weird place.
Which isn't, like, out at all or, like, no info on it. Maybe we see it at E3.
What are they going to do at E3?
Remember they teased Dragon Age somewhere last year? So my guess is their big thing at E3 or wherever is Dragon Age is back. Here's some hot shit for that.
Great. Really excited. People, I mean, I don't know. People like Inquisition a lot.
And then, I don't know.
Also, is there going to be an E3 this year? Is it all gone?
Sounds like they're still doing it.
Yeah, sounds like it. We'll see. A lot of people are pulling out of, like, different gaming stuff. Sony has pulled out of PAX because of the fear of the coronavirus. Facebook and Sony have pulled out of GDC.
GDC, yeah.
Concerns about the coronavirus? Boy, there's, like, weird issues with, I guess the thing was issues with the production of the new consoles. Some of their production line stuff struggling because of coronavirus stuff. Because a lot of those parts are made in China, which is now in, like, total lockdown.
Right.
There are people that are, like, saying, like, yeah, we might not have a console launch this year because both of these are really struggling, especially to line up those. Mitch just mentioned it. Those new drives made in China.
HBM.
HBM, yes. They're made in China. Struggling to line those up is a rumor, which I don't. So who knows? I think it's becoming more likely that we might have a 2021 launch for both of these consoles. Are you guys worried about? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are going to any big conventions or anything like that this year, but worried about contracting the coronavirus at a thing?
You're asking the wrong people, okay. But no.
We all gotta die sometime.
Okay. Die in the arms of your video games. It's the only way to go.
As far as we know, the US and the UK have maintained the spreading. So, like, there's big news about this virus from, like, Iran and Italy because they're spreading based on, like, no known direct link from China.
Right.
And that probably means, like, in Iran's case, it's a case of a lack of, like, security checks on borders, and then probably because there's poorer sections in Iran.
Right.
And, like, lots more people per household and stuff like that. So it's way more likely to spread in, like, countries like that or, like, third world countries. Like, the biggest worry,
right,
potentially is, like, if COVID-19 eventually reaches Africa.
Yeah.
Because you've seen how, like, Ebola spreads and stuff like that there. Like, it can spread pretty rapidly once it gets to Africa because it's also densely populated and, yeah.
Do you think they're...
Do
you think they're being overly cautious? Sony and Facebook and stuff? Like,
yes.
For this kind of stuff? Do you think, like, do you get it? Like, I feel like they were being a little scared. Like, I don't know. I know Japan has its own thing going on right now with the coronavirus and stuff.
Obviously, yeah, and South Korea as well has that issue. But, like, I guess my take on it is, like, maybe this is exactly what happened, and then we're just seeing the end result, is, like, you give the people who are going to work it, like, the choice. Like, do you want to go to this? We'll give you the choice. And if, like, enough people said they didn't want to go, that they couldn't man the booths, then they had to pull out. Maybe that is actually what occurred.
I could see that.
That's what I would have done rather than just a clean cut. Maybe that is totally what happened, and we just didn't see the inner mechanics of it.
Okay.
But yeah, also there's the casual conspiracy theory of, like, the fuck do they even have to show, man?
That's fair. Also,
think about it. Like, there's definitely no console stuff that's gonna happen.
Right.
There's, like, zero new games on the PS4, as far as I know. They're not showing The Last of Us. Like, maybe they'll show it too.
They might have a little gameplay snippet or something like that.
People behind closed doors or on TV screens, which they need zero people there to do.
True.
So, yeah. There's also that theoretical conspiracy business you can do about that.
Huh. It's the last news story. I don't have a lot of news this week. It's still kind of the holidays, still kind of that trail off. Also, a lot of news is getting pulled down because obviously the consoles are getting closer. So the announcements are slowly getting pulled.
Yes.
You're watching. This is what always happens when a new console is coming out. You're watching the slow news stories that would have come out, new announcement, new games, just getting the tendrils are coming out. A little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. Hey, why don't you come on our stage and here, announce this here. Last news story. Australian retailers limit Ring Fit Adventure sales. Resellers and coronavirus causes stock. Hey, y'all want that Ring Fit? What's up with that? Ring Fit. Can't believe it. It's very fun. I've been playing a lot, by the way. I just don't mention it because what else is... It's hard.
No.
It's hard.
Not much.
It's a hard game. So do you guys think we'll see... You think the PlayStation 5 comes out this year? Or Xbox Series?
Yes.
X? You think this year? Okay.
I think the Xbox does. It seems like they're having less issues. And they've committed from, like, last year and stuff. Like, they've got out there ahead saying, like, this is the name, this is the box. They're way ahead of the press cycle compared to the PS5.
Huh. Is there a chance that it comes out this year, but they have, like, we have 100,000 of these. You're going to have to wait in line.
It's also potentially fair. They can just claim, like, oh, the popularity of this thing means
it might be big for them, too. Might be good for them, too.
Pulling Nintendo
might not be the worst idea, especially. Okay. That's the news. I don't got anything else for you. That's been me, Newsman, out.
All right.
Cool. That's been episode 190. Also.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of episodes. A lot of variation. You can try each one. Which is your favorite? What's your favorite variation of Rob's or Baghdad? 190 choices. You got to rank them for me, if you could. Send it in an email to robsbag@gmail.com. Nowadays, though, you can check us out in our video version of our thing on twitch.tv/robsorbaghdad, youtube.com/... Robs or Baghdad YouTube Paradise. It's always, it's some, like, numbers, and then, like, I can never get the YouTube URL.
Yeah, they don't do vanity URLs
vanity
anymore.
Vanity URL.
Do they not? That's shit.
Anyway, check us out on YouTube. Just type in Roms Over Baghdad YouTube channel, and you'll find it. Yeah. Twitter, @RomsBag. Check out all of our, we do live streams. Sometimes I do a trash stream on Thursdays. Jake does streams. Mary does streams. I think that's it, right? Want anything else to plug?
I think that's it, yeah.
Plug?
Nope.
That's it. All right, folks. Catch you next time. Go try the zoo.